Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Hymn 99 in the Lutheran hymnal. Hymn 99 in Lutheran worship. Hymn 156 in the Lutheran hymnal. These stanzas are from a hymn based on the 10th chapter, the 4th verse of the book of Hebrews, where we are told it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Animal blood is incapable of removing the stain which iniquity imprints on the human conscience. Yet if there was ever a need which every human being has, it is the need to have their sins taken away. We are all born with the stain and the stigma, both of the guilt and of the corruption of Adam's sin. And we all know it all too well. The knowledge of sin is stamped clearly on the human conscience. How then can sin be taken away from us so as never to trouble our consciences again? Our text of the morning from Hebrews chapter 9, as read from the lectern, tells us how this sin removal project came about. We look first at the 15th verse of the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. This verse sets before us our theme this morning: Christ and the conscience. The verse reads as follows: "And for this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new testament, in order that, since a death has taken place for redemption of the transgressions which were committed under the first testament, those who are called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance." This verse begins with the phrase, "and for this reason." The reason referred to is that our consciences may be cleansed once and forever from doing dead works to serve God the living. Verse 15 tells us what was necessary in order that you and I might serve a holy God with a good and a clean and a pure conscience. To explain how this purging of the human conscience takes place, there are 7 distinctly Christian words that appear in Hebrews 9, verse 15. The first word is mediator. There must be a go-between to bridge the gap that exists between the human conscience and the living God. The second word is testament. A new arrangement has to be put in place to bring together the burdened conscience and the blessed God. The third word is redemption. There's need that the conscience, sold into sin, be bought and be brought back out of sin to where it can be at home and at ease in the presence of the Holy Trinity. The fourth word is transgressions. Sin as the cause of a defiled conscience must be exposed and must be expelled as that which transgresses the will and the word of God. The fifth word is call. Left to itself and looking to itself, the conscience is without hope until God calls to it from without. Just as there is an external, outward, alien righteousness on the basis of which we are declared just and right with God, so there is an external, outward, alien call which invites us into God's presence. The sixth word is promise. The call which comes to us from without is the revelation of the gracious gospel promise of God. The seventh and final word is inheritance. The promise given us in the gospel call offers us an inheritance which is meant to last us for all and throughout all eternity. Now, what brings these seven words in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 together? And where do they all lead us? Each of these seven words finds its focus and comes to rest in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus is the mediator, the one mediator between God and man, both in his person and by his work. Jesus is the testator whose death put into effect the last will and the final testament of God. Jesus is the Redeemer, whose blood was the price needed to put away the enmity that exists between God and man. Jesus is the Lamb of God, who bore all those transgressions, and in whose wounds we find our healing. Jesus is the living Word, who calls us by his gospel to be his own, to live with him, and to live with him in his kingdom. Jesus is the promise which God kept when he sent his only begotten Son to die for us on an accursed cross. Jesus is the one heir of God who bids us be joint heirs with him to enter the blessed inheritance of the saints. Hebrews 9, verse 15, it literally bursts apart with descriptions of the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. And this gospel alone has the power to cleanse the sinful conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We turn now to the concluding verses of our text, Hebrews 9, 24 to 28. And there we find that this same Jesus, who is also described for us as first our great high priest, who has entered into the holy place of heaven itself to appear before God for us. No wonder our consciences are now at rest. They find their rest in the heavenly intercessor and the heavenly intercession of Jesus for us. And secondly, Jesus is the one who once, in the end of the ages, appeared in time, in history, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is why our consciences are clean before God. They've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, Jesus is the one who once died to bear our sins away and who will return without sin and also without doubt to usher in eternal salvation. When the conscience is clean by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is clean for now and it is clean forever. It is clean forever and it is clean for real. We recall once again the stanzas of that hymn with which we began our message this morning. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Oh yes, the shadowy laws of the Old Testament have been lifted, and they're blown away like an early morning mist. They are replaced by the reality of Jesus as the Christ sent by God. Jesus has fulfilled those laws both on the cross of history and in the conscience of his people. Amen.